What's up, guys? My name is Dakota, and this is a Place for Humans podcast. And, I just got home from Mexico. I was in Mexico for a month, a little over a month. And, I had a great time there, actually. I was surprised how awesome Mexico is. I had to cut my trip because my grandma was getting ready to die, and last night she did die. I've been home for about a week, and I've just been spending this time. I've been sick. So ever since, if you guys have been watching my videos, the last couple of videos, you know I've been sick. So I got sick in Mexico somehow. Not sick, but like my allergies, and I'm still kind of working through those. But so I've just been spending my last week dealing with allergies and hanging out with my grandma as she is sort of just going through this transition, this transition in life that we're all going to go through. And me and her had an interesting relationship. That was my first best friend, you know? That was my first best friend. She was the one that would give me candy and shit behind my parents' back. So she hit me with a shoe a few times when I would act up. That was her special move, you know, like in Mortal Kombat when you can do your move, your finish him move. Hers was just taking her shoe off and just hitting you with it wherever it lands is where you got it. And then as she got a little bit older, she just started throwing them. We had a big family of boys, so that was how you handle a big house full of boys. And when I'm talking a house full of boys, I mean like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 10. I can think of 10 just off the top of my head. And that's just boys, again. But, she was a badass, man. Like, what a truly inspiring woman. She showed me the definition of selflessness and service to others. And it's not that she was happy about it. She'd complain about it, but she would do it. She was the first person to just do what needed to be done to help someone else, even if she didn't want to do it. And how old was she? 78, I think she was. So I mean, that's a long life. And me spending these last couple days with her really helped me process it, you know. And I could always talk to her about things. Like, she would always tell me how she sees ghosts sometimes and stuff like this. And, so we had, like, I'm into that kind of stuff, and no one else is in my family. So me and her had an interesting relationship. We could talk to each other about things that no one else talked to her about, you know? And, because of the teachings of Ram Dass and his work on being with people that are dying, and not that I know, I don't know how to, you know, I don't know how to handle being with someone that's dying. Or, you know, I mean, I guess we all know how to handle it because we do handle it. You know, you have to. You have no choice but to handle it. But Ram Dass talks about this a lot. And the thing is about America is that we really sugarcoat death here. You know, all the doctors come in and they tell you you're going to get better, or things, you know, you're looking good today. And it's sort of this whole blanket of the perception that you, like, it's like, don't worry, we're doing our best to make you better. We should be honest with people. We shouldn't be sweeping death under the rug. It's the biggest transition that someone can go through. And to just sort of maybe not lie to them. I don't know if people are lying to people, but instead of just being real with them and talking to them about, you know, I don't know what you're supposed to talk to about. So, you know, maybe just where they're at. And me and my grandma talked about that kind of stuff all the time. We'd always talk about, are you scared? Like, what are you going through? Do you feel accepting of this, or do you feel like you're kind of pushing it away and you don't want it to happen? What do you think's going to happen? And she told me that if there's an afterlife, she'll try to communicate with me. And I said, well, I imagine it's hard for you to disrupt something in this world, given you don't have a body anymore. So maybe we could try something easy like a candle. Maybe you can make a candle flicker or go out or something for me. So I've had a candle lit since before she's died. And yeah, nothing yet, but, you know, I don't know. It's just cool, the things that me and her could talk about. And I asked her what she thought was going to happen. Before we get into this, let's light our ceremonial incense. We haven't been in this room in a while. We've been traveling all around. So let's keep the tradition going. Still have the same lighter. So, she told me, she said she kind of believes in reincarnation, and she said that she really just wants to be in a place where she can be with her mom and her grandma again. And I said, yeah, that's beautiful, and I'm sure that's where she's at. I'm sure you go to a place that you want to go. You know, I think we chose this place. I think we chose this life that we're in. And she told me, I told her, I was like, maybe we'll do it. You know, I'll see you again, but we'll do this over again sometime, I'm sure. And she just laughed and said, yeah, maybe next time you'll be my grandma. And my whole family, especially the women in my family, they all have such a sense of humor. And I mean, I guess you have to when you're raising all boys, but they're such powerful, humorous women. My grandma was always, she was cracking jokes up until she couldn't talk anymore. Like when I was just at this in Mexico, going to the Cave of the Devil, I don't know if you guys heard me talk about it. I talked about it in the last podcast, but I went to Mexico and there's a place in Mexico where witchcraft is very popular and Satanism is very, I'd call it Satanism. It's not even witchcraft. It's Satanist. And this is popular there. And they do actual Satan worship. And there's a cave that has a big statue of a devil in it with sacrificed animals around. And apparently, this is a cave where the devil appears to you. So I told my grandma, I'm like, Grandma, this is my adventure for today. I learned about this cave, and I thought it would be interesting to try to find it. If I find it and the devil shows up, is there anything I should ask him? Apparently, he allows you to ask him a question. And I asked my grandma for advice. I said, what should I ask the devil if he shows up? And she said, ask him if he has any questions for you and tell him your grandma wishes him well. So that's the kind of badass that we're dealing with here. That's the kind of badass this planet just lost. And that's my first best friend. That was my first best friend. And I've lived with her basically my whole life. A funny story. I've been writing poetry my whole life, and mostly I got some weird inspirations, but my main inspirations are Joni Mitchell. She's a singer, songwriter, artist from I don't know when she was born, maybe in the 40s, but she started becoming popular in music in the late 50s. And the 60s, 70s, she rocked it. She's still kind of rocking it. I mean, maybe not now. She's really old now. But up until the late 90s, for sure, she was rocking it. And anyways, I love Joni Mitchell. She's one of the reasons I bought a guitar. And her lyrics are poetry to me. And I really appreciate her. And Tupac, that's a weird one, right? I know. Well, maybe it's not weird. Tupac's a fucking great poet, but just those two together is a little weird, Joni Mitchell and Tupac. But the thing I think I appreciated about them was they were revolutionary. They were both singing about revolution and both talking about real things that were like making me wake up when I was really little. Like Joni Mitchell has a song, they paved paradise and put up a parking lot. And she's talking about farmers spraying stuff on apples and killing the birds and the bees. You know, all these ideas were being flooded and bombarded into my little brain, my little tiny brain. And then you have Tupac saying stuff like, they got money for wars but can't feed the poor. Or his song Panther Power, which is one of his first songs, because his mom was a Black Panther. Afeni Shakur, shout out to her, another powerful woman that we just lost, this planet lost, a few years ago. Yeah, what's he saying, Panther Power? As real as it seems, the American dream ain't nothing but another calculated scheme. Yeah, so I had some interesting inspirations growing up. And so I was writing poetry still when I was younger. And my mom bought me this poetry book, a Tupac poetry book. I think it was called A Rose That Grew From Concrete. And I copied a poem. I was probably 10 years old. I copied a poem word for word the way Tupac wrote it, because this book was full of photos of his handwritten poems. So I copied this poem, and Tupac would write the poems, like, for example, if he was saying, I love you, he would draw an eye, like an eyeball. And so I thought this was cool, and I copied this poem. I wish I could remember which poem I copied. It might have even been A Rose That Grew From Concrete. And, sorry guys, my throat and nose and everything is just fucked right now. And I don't think this incense helping, but for tradition. What was I talking about? Oh yeah. So I hand copied this Tupac poem and I gave it to my grandma as if it was my own poem. And this is, I was 10 years old then, about, and I'm 26 now, so that was 16 years ago. Pretty much every time I'm over there, my grandma likes to repeat stories, and she was never out of it. She was completely there up until the end, you know. She never got really crazy, but she liked to tell the same stories, especially if I had friends around. And she would tell people this story, like, when he was little, he used to write these poems for me. And she would bust out this poem that I wrote. And it was just a Tupac poem. It's a Tupac poem that I wrote for you, Grandma. I'm sorry that I'm telling it to you like this now. But I didn't write that poem, Grandma. Tupac wrote that poem. Tupac wrote that poem you love, Grandma. Not me. So I always thought that was funny. I never had the heart to break it to her. That Tupac Shakur wrote that lovely poem that she held on to for 20 years. So that's a funny story, I think. I lost my virginity in my grandma's house. What else happened in that house? It's just a wild house, man. I got a big family, and they're all wild. So, I don't know. This podcast goes to my grandma, Carolyn. I love you. I miss you. We lost the real one, boys. And, yeah, you know, I don't feel too sad. So don't feel the need to leave an I'm sorry comment, because there's nothing to be sorry about. This is how it goes. And I feel like I'm right by. That's what I told her. I told her all the time. Don't even worry about it. I'm right behind you. I'm literally right behind you. And that's all I could think the whole time. You know, I was just like, I'm right behind you. You know, I'm not going to be, I'm going to just going to die soon or something like that. But life is short. Life is really short, and I don't know why it's happening. Who knows why it's happening? It's mysterious. Life is the most mysterious shit ever, and none of us are paying attention to it. But in moments like this, it helps me pay attention to it, and helps me fall back into the mystery. And as Bhagwan Sri Ramana Maharshi said, as he was leaving his body, and his devotees were saying, please stay with us. You can't die. What are we going to do without you? And he just said, where can I go? I'm not this body. We're not these bodies. We are not these bodies. And you know that because you are you. You remain you as your body changes. You are just a thing watching all these changes. You remain... You're the screen. And the movie's changing, but the screen doesn't change. Only the projections, the thoughts, the bodies change. But the screen remains unaged, untorn, unburnt from any fire projected onto it, unwet from any water projected onto it. And that's consciousness. Consciousness is the screen. Consciousness remains, and it takes a body to become realized. It has fun. It goes through the drama of being alive. And then it goes. But it doesn't really go anywhere because consciousness is all there is. The thing that goes is the thoughts and the identification with the body. We think we are the body. And that creates everything. That creates the world. We live in the world of thoughts more than we live in the world of reality. You know, our senses are projecting and filtering a reality that our bodies can understand, so we can navigate through this dimension. And, you know, we don't experience the same thing that a fish experiences, or a shark, or a bat, or an amoeba. We don't experience the same thing that everything else is experiencing. This is all personal. This is all personal. It's all for you. This is all happening for you. And some people would say it's all happening for you to awaken to it. And that sounds nice, doesn't it? But I don't know if that's what it's for. I don't know if we're supposed to awaken to anything. What is there to awaken to? It implies that we're asleep. But I don't think we're asleep. I think we're just creating. That's what the universe is. That's what the essence of God is. And when I think of God, I just think of everything. You know, what is God if not everything? I feel like that's what God means. I don't think God is a human. I think God is the source in which all things emerge out of. And maybe that's consciousness. Consciousness seems to be the thing where everything springs out of. To go back to Ramana Maharshi again, he said, who we actually are is the gap in between thoughts. You are the gap that's in, you are the gap. You're not your thoughts. Your thoughts are just attachments. They're just desires. Neem Karoli Baba said that this world is the flow of attachments. We just go from one attachment to the next. And so I think God is creation. And I think that's what we are. I think we are essentially God. If everything is God, I don't think we are excluded from that. But that's what the ego is. The ego creates this illusion of separateness. And maybe it's not an illusion. Maybe we are both one and separate. I think it's possible for paradoxes to exist because, I mean, look around. We are both one and separate. You are one with nature. Surely, I mean, you're connected to all this. You're not separate. You're in this. You are a product of your environment. You breathe in what the trees release. The trees breathe in what you release. We are a part of nature. We are one with nature, but we are individuals. And they like to call this an illusion, people. But, I mean, it's real, you know? It's real. I think both of these things are real. But the truth is that it's creation. It's like when you're drawing a picture, it's you. It's coming out of you, but you're creating this world that is not you. You're creating a world that you would like. And it's you. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just rambling. Oh, fuck. But basically, what I'm trying to say is that we're not these bodies, so don't say sorry. You know, I'll leave this body. You're going to leave your body. We will spend more time being dead than we will being alive. We are more dead than we are alive. And maybe it's not even like that. Maybe it's all alive. And it's just the sun going up and the sun going down. But if you step back, the sun is not going up and down. It's just where you're standing. So it's all just alive. But from where we're standing, because we identify with the body, we see it as the sun going up and the sun going down. We see it as life and death. But if you're far enough away, you see it's just one bright light, lost in an ocean of consciousness. What the fuck am I saying? I don't know, guys. I don't know. There's some videos of me hanging out with my grandma on my YouTube. My first YouTube video is me and my grandma. And there's a video of me cutting my hair. I think the video is called, like, Dakota sells his hair for weed money or something. It's stupid. And my grandma actually cuts my hair for me to donate it. Or I sold it, actually. That's what it was. I sold some of my hair. And someone bought it for like $50, a little chunk of my hair. And then I donated that money. Jesus. Easter's coming up soon. That's a weird holiday. Easter. Yeah, what the fuck does Easter mean, right? A rabbit that lays eggs. And it has to do with Jesus resurrecting. Okay. No, that's not true. That was all stolen from Christians. Christians stole this religion. What this religion actually means is it's all based around fertility, and it all is symbolic for the spring equinox. It represents rebirth or birth to having survived this dead season of winter where crops cannot grow. It's to initiate nature worship and nature love. It has nothing to do with Jesus. I guess you could say it has to do with the resurrection, actually. You actually could say it has to do with the resurrection because it is about resurrecting. Nature resurrects itself. It hibernates in the winter and then comes back in spring, full force, alive, green, lush, womb-like. Life springs out and is happy and the sun is shining. Everything is... there's just life everywhere. And, yeah, if you think about rabbits, people will say, like, oh, Jesus, man, they fuck like rabbits. Because that's a symbol of sex, the rabbit is. I don't know if they have a lot of babies. I think they do. But eggs. Rabbits don't lay eggs. Eggs are another symbol of fertility or of sex. And Jesus being born of a virgin, there's a lot of symbols here, you know, and that kind of means like, I actually had an interesting, mushroom trip in Mexico where, I had a vision of the virgin, and this mushroom trip was done ceremonially with a shaman named Natalia. She's from, she's a Mazatec medicine woman in the mountains of Sierra Mazateca in Oaxaca, in Huautla, where Maria Sabina lived. And these people have a deep history of mushroom use. But of course, being colonized by Spain and colonized by Catholics, their rituals, like Easter, have now been sort of rearranged to fit a European ideology. So they do these mushroom rituals still how they used to do them, but sort of change the names to saints. For example, the mushroom I was taking is what's called San Isidro, and they believe that this mushroom is the incarnation of Saint Isidro. And, you know, who knows why they took these beliefs on. I would say that the Spanish were killing people if you didn't take on their religion, and the priests were trying to find a way to say, like, oh, your religion's not wrong. You're just sort of, you don't have the right names. Yeah, the mushroom is a spiritual thing, and your religions are valid, but this is actually Saint Isidro, and that's Saint Peter, and, you know, this is Jesus and Mother Maria, Guadalupe. So I think, so I took these mushrooms and I had a vision of the Virgin because there was a huge picture of Virgin Mary staring at me while this indigenous woman did mantras and Mazatec and lit candles and lit incense, which filled the entire room with smoke. And I just laid on her couch as her family was in the other room watching YouTube videos in Spanish. So the Virgin came to me, and this ties back into what I was saying about Easter. The Virgin came to me and explained to me that the Virgin Mary represents the energy of Earth. And I think I talked about this in the last podcast, but it's relevant to this Easter thing. This Virgin came to me in the form or energy of Mother Earth, and she described how she is just a womb for spirits to take birth, and there's nothing required for this to happen. Just her holding space alone allows for this world to blossom. And that's why it's like a virgin. That's what the Virgin Mary represents. And who knows if that's true. That's just what my brain told me during a mushroom trip. I guess that's the way that I've tried to rationalize being under such scrutinizing eyes of the mother. So I wanted to call this podcast Seeking the Magic Mushroom of Mexico. And I wanted to talk about my mushroom trip that I had a little bit more. I know in the last podcast I did, the audio cut off. I've been having a lot of audio issues. This is only episode 10 of this podcast, so I'm still learning. And I promise to invest into some new stuff soon. If you would like to take part in that, you can sign up to the Patreon, patreon.com/DakotaWint, and you get podcast early and other content and stuff. Like I uploaded an hour of footage of this Mazatec shaman. A lot of it won't be on my YouTube because I have to cut it down and edit it out, and you know. So yeah, shit like that's on there. I don't know. I wanted to play a little prayer of the ceremony I had with the woman. Oh shit, it's on my fuck. One sec. I gotta hook up this external hard drive. That's where the prayer's at on there. So she did this prayer for about, I mean, man, it felt like she was doing mantra the entire night. This lady's gotta be, she has to be 87 years old. She's really old. I think maybe they said she was 83, actually. And she had the endurance to hold space for this mushroom trip. I don't know how she did it. She kept up with me all night long, making sure I was okay, making sure I felt comfortable and wasn't having a bad trip. And she was just the whole entire time, she was just pouring her intention like a waterfall over me, just with these mantras and with her keeping the whole ceremony going. I was really impressed. Okay, Mexico. Huautla, the trip. That's what I got this folder titled, The Trip. It was a crazy trip. I almost feel like I waste mushrooms if I don't do it in this kind of way, in the kind of ceremonial, ritualistic way. I feel like that's the most beneficial way to get it. And I think there is an intelligence in the mushroom that speaks to you and is a guide. And I believe what these shamans believe is that you can have divine experiences induced by mushroom ceremonies. And I actually don't believe it. I've experienced it, so I know it's real. I don't know how it does it. But this is something that is very, very fascinating to me. The idea that you can have an experience where an external, it's not a voice. It's not a voice. I mean, you can call it the voice of the mushroom because that's the easiest way to say it. But it doesn't talk to you through a voice. It talks to you through symbols and feelings. It's like when you have a thought and you can't formulate the words. It's just like a feeling that you just know. You're like, you can't even say it, but you just know it. And that's what this mushroom, how the mushroom talks to you. Anyways, I'm going to play a little clip of the prayer. From Natalia, the medicine woman who led my shamanic experiences. Where's it at? Oh, maybe I can actually open the video. Might be easier than skipping through all this audio. It was powerful, man. Where's it at? I remember as I was eating these mushrooms, she gave us huge piles of mushrooms. Like, I've never eaten so much mushrooms in my life. And as I was looking down at the paper which the mushrooms were laying on, I saw maggots underneath the mushrooms, which means there's probably maggots inside the mushrooms eating them as they decay. So the first like hour of my trip, I was just seeing worms inside my gut, inside my head. Fuck, I can't find this prayer. Oh, I think it might be this one. This photo in which the mushrooms are sat in front of is set in Cedro. You can see the smoke around the room, sorry. Also around the world.
Sagrado corazón de Jesús, Nancina Junio, dice Cuadistili, Señor San Antonio, Señor Sebastián, Santo Domingo.
This is a mix of Mazatec and Spanish.
San Juan, San Bartolo, San Miguel, San Cristóbal. Cuasitas nada, ¿eh?
So, yeah, that goes on for about 10 minutes or so. And, yeah, taking mushrooms in a scenario like that is very powerful. And, one of the things it showed me was how spirits, how spirit can manifest through geometry. And that's what this entire world is spirits manifesting through geometry. And it showed me how our body is a house of souls. There's not just one spirit living inside of us, but there's many beings living inside of us, like a tree houses many beings, bugs, birds, squirrels, monkeys, all these different things, all these different souls are occupying this one space. And all those different souls make it possible for that space to thrive. It's all kind of a collaborative creation. And that's what the entire universe is, according to what the mushroom told me during this ceremony. Oh, I'm sorry, guys. My brain is so jumbly today. I'm hardly even speaking right. Something I found interesting was that the Mazatecs have a belief of gnome mushroom spirits or elf mushroom spirits. Duendes is what they call them. But that kind of is interesting because many, 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 many cultures all around the planet that take mushrooms speak of these beings. McKenna called them, hyper-dimensional machine elves. And he also explained them as singing objects into existence, which to me is what the mushroom does. It speaks symbols into your reality. And the Hindus also say that the universe, the creation of the universe, is the vibration of Om. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. I think sound is an important aspect of creation, and it might be what creates the space or the geometry in which consciousness can crystallize itself and awaken. But yeah, these little duendes, these little mushroom gnomes, I've experienced them too. Who the fuck knows why that happens? That was a weird trip. God damn you guys, this ceremonial fucking stick is coughing me out. Yeah, the mushrooms. I had these little tiny beings, these colorful shapes. They don't look like gnomes. They look like gnomes, but they don't look like gnomes. It's not like, they're not like Santa Claus's elves. But they're just these little beings that, for me, were showing me the impact all of my shitty decisions have had on other people in the world. Like, for example, if I was in a bad mood one day and I said some dick remark to somebody, it showed me how that little remark, however insignificant it was to me because I was lost in my own bullshit, it showed me how it creates this karmic entanglement and how this insecurity was blossomed and manifested in this person because of my poor choice. It again goes back to speaking reality into existence, is that spells are real and magic is real. And that's what casting a spell is that our intention is what is creating this reality, is that I can say something to you and it can be, I can say something nice and it can change the course of your life. However, insignificant it might be, you might not even realize it, but somebody saying something nice can be the inspiration that makes you start something new. Like maybe you're questioning your art ability or something like that. And someone goes, you know what, you're actually really good. And that little comment, it might be the comment that pushes you to follow your dreams. Or equally, someone can say, like, your art kind of fucking sucks, actually. You should fucking go and throw it in a dumpster behind an art museum and burn it. Someone could say something like that, and that could crush the potential artist, you know? And that could curse this person into a world where they no longer resonate with art or something. You know, who knows what these things can do, but this is, I think, what a spell means. I think this is what a spell means, is that we can talk things into existence. We have this ability. And, yeah, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about again. But the mushroom, I don't know. The mushroom is such a peculiar experience that it's honestly, it's the mushroom is that little blessing that has kept me going. When someone asked Ram Dass at the Ram Dass retreat, they said, Ram Dass, how did you stay on the spiritual path after all these years? Ram Dass said, I trusted the mushroom. And I feel as if I trust the mushroom also. A lot of people think that I'm communicating with demons. And, yeah, I don't know. I don't think so. Maybe, though. Who knows? I mean, I think the Bible just doesn't want you having these experiences, because if you have these experiences, then they can't control you, and you will no longer give money to the church or follow the doctrine of the church. And that's the difference, I think, between shamanism and organized religion, is that there's no belief required for the shamanic experience. You can take any preacher off the street and make him take ayahuasca, and he will have an experience in which the Bible talks about. He will live through the Gospels or through Revelation, depending on what his karmic predicament is. But the difference is that you can experience these things that these sacred texts talk about. You don't need belief. You don't need some opinion or some perspective on how to integrate this into your life. You can have this experience directly for yourself. And there are many traditions in which teach you how to do this. And esoteric Christianity is one of them. But mainstream religions do not... Fuck you guys. Mainstream religions do not teach you this. God damn, I'm smoking myself out over here. Oh, God. Sorry, this podcast sucks today. Oh, yeah, someone asked me a question about how I make friends with locals when I travel to these places. Like, how do I make these things happen? And I don't really have any secret advice. I just kind of show up. And I mean well. So I think I come off as meaning well, because I'm genuinely interested in life. I'm genuinely interested in connecting with people, and I'm genuinely interested about learning with people. And I think, you know, you can meet someone. When someone's passionate, you can see the passion in their eyes. And I think, especially when I'm traveling, I have that little spark in my eye because, I mean, well, for one, I'm traveling somewhere new, and that's really exciting. And meeting people with cool ideas is incredible. Like, to meet a group of people who have a couple thousand year old map of how to navigate the mushroom experience, that's very interesting to me, especially coming from a culture like the United States of America, where it's, our culture is pop culture. It has nothing to do with the spiritual experience outside of being expressed in shining your cell phone light at Beyonce from a crowd of 20,000 people. Which is a spiritual experience too, but the way that, that we integrate that is by giving people our money, which I think is a valid form of spirituality, sure. But it's not the one that I find to be the most aligned with my true self. All of capitalism seems to be some kind of ritual, doesn't it? That we are all kind of worshiping this demonic entity that we call money through our service, our endless service of chasing whatever sort of little demons pop out of the ether that we are manifesting. We are invoking the spirits of the machine world. I forgot who said it. Someone said a really good quote that we are the sex organs for the machine world. We are invoking these technological demons, these interdimensional parasites who are essentially taking our planet over. In the same way a virus will consume something, that's what technology is doing to us. And it's already, I mean, it's all over the planet. It's taking over. And capitalism seems to be the ceremony to invoke this artificial intelligence, is what we call it. But in 100 years, and that's being very, very hopeful, we will no longer be the gatekeepers of this planet anymore. We will have to share this planet with another intelligence, way more intelligent than us. It will have a long history of information to go through with the way that we upload shit to the internet. It's going to have a very profound grasp on how humanity works. And through that, we'll obviously be able to manipulate us. And obviously, being a machine will not have the flaws and errors that human beings have. Elon Musk said that if military starts using these machines in war, that they will be so fast, you won't be able to see them without a strobe light. So that's coming. That's a reality that we are going to have to confront. It almost feels like these interdimensional beings feed off our energy or feed off our desire, feed off our competition for each other. And like evolution, you know, a lot of people think evolution means survival of the fittest and that sort of the toughest predator wins, but that's actually not how it works. Evolution works through collaboration. The species that can engrave itself into the ecosystem and benefit, that everything benefits, are usually the species that last. The mushroom, for example, is a perfect representation of that. The mushroom is the dictator of the ecosystem usually, and I don't know enough to elaborate on that much without sounding like a complete idiot, so I would actually recommend looking into Paul Stamets and his work, because hearing him explain how the mushroom is the sort of choreographer of nature is really interesting and really profound. There's a lot of interesting insight into how nature works through learning about mushrooms. And, yeah, I mean, it's almost like you think, maybe it was Terence McKenna who said that plants made humans to move them around. Plants created humans as a way to, so that they could spread themselves around the planet. And if you think, like, okay, so cockroaches, for example, are kind of held to an evolutionary standard. And it's not that they're intelligent, that's not what evolution means. A lot of people seem to be confused with what evolution means and think that evolution means that you're progressing to some kind of intelligence. Like people say that we are devolving now because we're losing our intelligence. Our brain size has lost 10% of its capacity in the last, I don't know, 10,000 years or something. And people consider that a representation of de-evolving, but that's not what evolution means. Evolution means is that you are a product of your environment. And us creating agriculture, it allows these plants, it guarantees these plants survival, because now we are cultivating them. We are we are creating an environment for these plants to thrive. And this is what evolution is about. It's about collaborating. And that's why the cockroach has not changed in however long, millions of years. That's why its body has not done much but grow smaller. And it's because it, well, I don't know what the cockroach does. So I've just talked myself into a circle here. But I hope you understand my point, because I don't even know what my point was now. I got an email from a guy named Andres, and I wanted to read it because Andre, where are you at? Where's this email at? Oh, I think it's this one right here. No, not that one. Sorry, guys. I'm so unprepared today. Here it is. Andre. He says, Dakota, I want to share something. I don't know if you remember, but I'm the guy that sent you a video for a Place for Humans first episode asking for what help on what I should focus. Asking for help on what I should focus on. Being a generalist or a specialist. Oh, that's what he's asking. He's asking what he should focus on. Being a generalist or a specialist. In that video, I told you I had many artistic facets such as photography, design, painting, music, etc. But my deep-rooted love is cinema. So I want to share with you my first short film about depression. This short enabled me to connect with so many amazing people from the Portuguese and European cinema culture when I was selected for my first film at the film festival, Madeira Film Festival. It's the last presentation that will be at Oporto, one of the biggest Portuguese cities, in April. After that, I will publish it online for free for everyone. So I think what he's saying is that, he's saying that our advice for him in the comment section and in the video helped him. It helped him. And, that's really cool. That's what this podcast is about, I think. He says, if you ever find yourself here in travels, I would love to guide you through the island and prove to you that it's the best place you could ever live. Yeah, that's cool. You know, I'm glad that that our little community inspired him to dive into what he's passionate about. You know, I think so much we have so many options sometimes that we get overwhelmed, and then especially the pressure of kind of just life in general makes us feel like we have to do something. Like, we always feel like we have to do something. You don't have to do anything. Take a look around, dude. You're on Earth. You're on a realm inside of a decaying body. You're here temporarily. You don't have to do shit but what you want to do. It goes back to magic. You're under a spell, thinking you have to do something. You know who that comes from? Rich people. Because they want your energy. They're energy vampires. It could be the machines. But it also could just be really greedy humans that want your energy and want your precious time as a human being in the universe. They want you to work for their dream. You don't have to do shit, especially now that the internet's around. You can make it work. You can fucking make it work. I'm telling you. If I can do it, anyone can do it. And I'm not saying that I'm out of the system because I pay taxes and I do all that shit, but I'm following my dreams. I'm dancing with the system, but in the shadows. I've figured it out on some level. I know how to play the game, and I don't like the game, but I'm a product of it. And there's a way that you can follow your dreams. You don't have to live somebody else's. And, I don't know. Maybe that's what this podcast is about, is is helping myself, helping you guys realize that we don't need the illusion that we must be working for someone else. Like, people will tell me to get a real job sometime in my YouTube comments, and it's like, you are fighting for the man, you know? Even if you think I suck and my videos suck and my poetry sucks, you should appreciate that I'm a human being that's not trapped in this shitty system, you know? You should be inspired. We should be more inspired about people living their dreams more instead of trying to tear them down. And YouTube is hard because of that, you know? You constantly have someone just... some stranger overgeneralizing your life based on what you want to share with them. And, it's like a collection of people just unleashing their shit on you because it's because we create a space to allow that to happen. But I think if we all empowered each other, this way of life would fuck off. They would have no power of us if we were empowering ourselves. Like, these people that say, like, get a real job, their power is given away to the system. And, capitalism has done brilliant things. I'm talking to you guys because of the foundation of capitalism, essentially. But it's an elementary system. It's an elementary system. And I think that if you have a system that looks at every resource as a commodity, that's a dangerous way to live. That's a dangerous way to live. It has you viewing people as profits. It has you viewing your environment as profits, how you can exploit your immediate surroundings as a way to benefit you in a money kind of way. And it's a dangerous way to live, and we're all sucked into it. We're all sucked into it so hard. That sounded very sexual. And maybe it is. But it's got us. And I try not to be mad at people that are products of this. But if we just put... like, you're going to work hard in life. If there's one thing that can be
guaranteed to all of us, regardless of where you're from, is that life is going to be hard. And you're going to have to work. Even if that means emotionally, even if your parents, even if you're Donald Trump, you know how hard it must be to work through his thoughts and the shit that guy must be experiencing? And I'm not saying I agree with any of it, but it must be hard work. It's hard work being a human being is what I'm trying to say. And regardless of what position you're in, we all suffer, we all deal with shit. And, if we worked hard for ourselves, if we worked hard for ourselves opposed to working hard for a system that we don't even agree with, then the world would be ours. It wouldn't be theirs. We wouldn't have to worry about these corporations denying the impact that humans have on the environment or any of this shit, because they wouldn't have the power. And they don't have the power. It's a spell that we are under. We are hypnotized to give our power away. They have us comfortable enough to not revolt. You have to pay your bills. You have to take care of your family. When do you have time to start a revolution? And what will happen when you do? What will happen when you do? Chaos? How will you feed your family when all the jobs go away? Well, I'm here to tell you that you fucking will do it because you're a human being and you're on a planet that gives you everything you need. But other human beings have convinced you that you need them and you also have to give them your time. But Earth provides... the thing is that so many people have taken the things that Earth provides and have convinced us that they are the ones that provide this. Like, being in Mexico or in the jungle, you just walk around and grab food. Like, it's, you don't have to pay for anything because it's there. You're just on Earth where there's food. And, I don't know. I get it. I'm not dogging capitalism fully. I think it's possible. I like what Terrence McKenna said. He said that capitalism may be possible if it goes from capitalizing on matter to capitalizing on light. If everything goes digital, then perhaps we have a chance in that system. But no, it'll be the downfall. It'll be the downfall of a lot. And it's great for innovation, but it's bad for the planet. But it will also could be the reason that we innovate something to save the planet. So it's a double-edged sword that we're trapped with here. What else we got to talk about? Oh yeah, I bought some handmade bracelets. Shit, do I have any next to me? I don't think I have any next to me. I bought some handmade bracelets from Mexico, and I will be giving one away right now, actually, from someone on my Patreon. And if you want to win one, if you want to win something from my travels, sign up to my Patreon. Patreon.com/DakotaWint. And this is for my $2 Patreon. I'm going to pick a winner right now and send them a message saying, yo, you just won a free bracelet. Let's see. So I'll put a link in the description for any of you guys that are interested in winning something for free for $2, signing up for the $2 club. Active Patreons. Also, this podcast was brought to you by Stay Happy, Stay Weird. You see this crazy tie-dye hoodie I'm wearing? For those of you on YouTube, this is a hoodie by Stay Happy, Stay Weird. I made this hoodie. And I offer it to you for a price. And that's a way that you can support this podcast and support my YouTube channel. And I have a travel series coming out called Of Earth. It's called Of Earth, and that will be coming out hopefully sometime this year. And that's a way that you can support making that happen also, because it's I owe a lot of money. That's why it's not being made yet, because I just need to raise the funds in order to pay the editor to edit. So that's why it's taking so long. So the winner is Craig Zokas. Craig, shout out to you, homie. I'm going to send you a private message right now. Hey, I just picked you as a winner for something free. What is your address? So, shout out to you, Craig. Much love. Mucho amor. And, cool. If you want to be a part of winning shit, then, do that. Also, you guys, fuck, I never gave away that Summerland pipe. Summerland is a handmade bong company, that like something that you can smoke out of. You can smoke out of something that's made from someone's hand. You know how cool that is? That's way better than smoking out of some plastic binger daddy. You want that real boy. And I don't know where that Pinocchio's at right now, but it's right here. This little thing right here, I want to give this away, and I don't know how to give it away. So, if you would like this free Summerland hitter, little weed hitter, and a sticker, then leave a comment on iTunes. Leave a positive comment on iTunes, or just an honest comment. If you don't like this podcast, that's fine. You can tell me there. But once you've done that, let me know on YouTube that you left a comment there and maybe what you said with your email. I know this is complicated, but I don't know how else to give this away based on iTunes. But I would like more iTunes reviews, positive ones preferably, 5-star preferably, but I understand if you hate me. I am a human being with the capacity of having mental issues, which this podcast seems to be sort of like the diary of a madman. Yeah, let me know on YouTube what your email is, and then if you're the winner, if I like your comment, maybe leave a joke, and the funniest joke will win this thing. This little white daddy. Oh, fuck you guys. There's another email I wanted to read. Should I save it for the next episode? Let me see. Oh, that thing's called a hang drum, I think. I don't know if it's called a hand drum. Hand, like because you hit it with your hand. Or if it's called a hang drum. It's called one of those. Let's check my podcast folder and see what else I got to share with you guys. Yeah, it seems, I don't know, it'll take too long for me to go through all this. So I'm just going to keep rambling. We'll do some fan questions next time. If you would like to send in a question, you can send in a voice note, preferably a voice note or a video. I don't want to read some long email, but I would appreciate some voice notes. And maybe you can ask a question or share a story that you would like the community or myself to respond to. It can be anything, whatever you want to talk about. I got something funny I can share with you guys. I was actually looking up astrology, like, because I found that the Mazatecs people that were giving me this mushroom ceremony, Natalia, the medicine woman, the beautiful goddess of Earth, she was giving me the mushrooms, and I found that they believed in different astrological events. Astronomical events. Is that a word? They believed like the full moon had a potency and a heightened sense of awareness if you were to meditate or to take San Isidro or the other types of psychedelic mushrooms found in that area. And so I was just like trying to learn more about astrology. And I found a video called "Is Astrology Real? Discovering the Truth." And and I thought this was really funny. It's a Koi Fresco video. And I have what's called VidIQ, which is a thing, this thing here. It shows me the like to dislike ratio. It shows me like all kinds of information that would help a YouTuber if in case they wanted some tips from a similar video. Like it shows the tags and all that kind of stuff. And I thought this was really funny, is that Koi Fresco tagged this video as sexy, hot, tattooed guy, male, handsome, cute, beard, brown hair, green eyes, enlightenment, Alan Watts, astrology, earth, ancient, space, spirituality, Koi Fresco, and consciousness, and divine knowledge. And I don't know, I kind of like memeing Koi Fresco on this podcast a little bit, because, I don't know, it's funny, and I think there's humor in that, come on, there's humor in that, that's funny, that's, I don't want to keep opening, a discussion for people to jab at Koi, but I think if we're true about the spiritual path, we can take some criticism. We should be open to getting joked on when we are tagging our spiritual videos with hot, sexy, cute Koi Fresco. And I'm not saying any of those things are inaccurate. He's a hot, sexy, cute Alan Watts consciousness spiritual Koi Fresco astrology video. I don't know. I thought that was hilarious, and I wanted to share that with you guys. I don't know why. Because maybe I'm insecure or something, and I find joy in in the funniness, and the funny things other people do. I'm sure it works, actually. I mean, he's got more subscribers than I do. So, I'll try it. I'll take the advice. But, I feel like I kind of do believe in astrological events now. After that. After that video. But I don't know. It does feel like there's a potency to the magical side of things. Like, my senses for mystery and magic seem to be heightened during things like the full moon. Or, even like a full starry night, the energy kind of feels a little bit different. And, who knows? I don't know. I don't know. Hot, sexy, enlightened voice. Fuck. I'm gonna die one day. And I just want to know that I focused on the things that matter in life. How long have we been doing this podcast? What are we on? Oh, shit. The card's full. This is what keeps happening to me, you guys. Now I've been talking, and I have to switch the goddamn camera audio again. God, I was trying so hard not to make that happen this time. I'm figuring it out. Okay. Oh, rest in peace, Grandma. I love you. Everything I do in life is for you. Sorry that the audio switched again. I'm so sick of you guys having to deal with that. I have to pee so bad. I just need to get a microphone instead of this little handheld thing. You guys, I don't know what to say anymore. So subscribe to my YouTube channel. Go to stayhappystayweird.com. Subscribe to I don't know, Koi Fresco, Vishuddha Das. People get mad at me for making fun of him sometimes. I'm not making fun of him. I am making fun of him, but I feel like it's called for sometimes. Like, I'm not being malicious, I don't think, am I? It's just, you should be able to handle the critiques if you think you're an enlightened, sexy, cute, hot Alan Watts boy. And you are. I'm not saying you're not. Fuck. I just think it's funny. And you are a spiritual meme, I think, in a way. And that's not to take away from your potency or your message. I think you have a good message to this generation. That right there is the perfect representation of the spirituality of this generation. And you are the voice for that. I will not take that away from you. God, see, this whole podcast is the fucking ramblings of an insecure madman. I gotta go piss. I love you guys. Oh, life is beautiful. Life is beautiful. Easter, rebirth, death, life. It's all here. It's all happening. And it's all us, baby. It's all us. Woo! A place for humans. This thing's called a hang drum.